in my life, knowing that from day to day, I'm not always going to be in the best of moods. I'm not always going to be shiny happy. I'm not always going to feel like I'm saved or feel very religious. That's normal. It would be abnormal if every day you rolled along and every day was happy and bright sunshine and everybody was, "Hi, how are you doing?" And what I'm saying is this, it doesn't make me less of a Christian. Because while my emotions go one way, my anchor is in the Word of God, which never changes. Can I hear God's people say amen?
Amen.
So while I feel one way, I look at Scripture and I read the Scripture and I say, I believe that. Even in contradiction to how I feel, I believe what God said. Okay? Now, it may be that God's having me feel this way for a reason to explain that. I thought last Sunday I was done preaching on marriage. I mean, I preached the whole thing about a good marriage, and we kind of left it off on a good note. But I was just kind of somebody sent me a message yesterday asking me about, they said, "We're not really having any problems, it's just a disagreement between us. Do you have anything that you can point me in direction to that like help for marriage?" And I said, "Yeah, I've been preaching a series on it." And right then the Lord reminded me that there was a message that was part of this that I had not preached yet. And I've preached on marriage, I've preached against sodomy, I've preached against shacking up, I've preached on how to have a good marriage, I'm preaching what can destroy a marriage. And I've preached on the godly role of men in a marriage. And I had actually had most of a sermon written up yesterday, and the Lord reminded me through this person that messaged me that I wasn't done with this series. And there's still something yet to preach. Did I have you turn to... Where did I have you turn to? I didn't? Titus chapter 2 verse 11. Turn there. I'm going to have you start there. And while you're opening to that, I'm going to read something else. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 and 17. And this is a passage you're probably already familiar with. I like the 3:16s of the Bible. I like John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." I like 1 Timothy 3:16, "For great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh." And I like 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction," it's profitable for doctrine, "for reproof, for correction." And then it says, "for instruction in righteousness." And all Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is meant to teach us how to live right. We already have, as I was talking about a while ago, sometimes our feelings and our emotions, this and that and the other, we already have something in us that knows how to act wrong, don't we? We already got something in us that knows how to act wrong. I would never forget the first time Lindsay told me and Lisa a lie. Hi, Lindsay. You know, now would be a good opportunity if you wanted to stand up and tell us Jethro's real name. Yeah, I guess I've just been told here. That's all right. But I'll never forget the first time Lindsay's our oldest daughter. She told Lisa and I, "I'm just a little bitty old thing." But it wasn't true. And she was doing that to keep from getting in trouble. And that just hit me. I didn't teach her how to lie, but I know how to do it. Lisa didn't teach her how to lie, but Lisa knows how to do it. Where did she get it from? She got it from us. We passed that down as part of the genetics package from Lisa and I to her. Some of it went to Alicia, some to Courtney, some Matthew. I mean, they all get it. Now the grandkids are eat up with it. But that's part of that package that we handed down to them. And we all know how to live the wrong way. Men, we all know how to act bad. Men behaving badly, that's us. Ladies, I love you. And as far as God's work here in this church, I've been around this church for a long time. If it wasn't for some of the ladies in this church, I don't think we'd ever made it. Some of the strength, some of the behind the scenes work, some of the greatest works in this church have been done by several of its women and not its men. I mentioned a while ago this right here. This is a, and I'd like to take good care of this thing. I'd like to keep that thing. We won't ever get another one of these, because Marge, she died of breast cancer years ago. She's gone, and he's on up there in years, and I hadn't heard from him in a while. But if it wasn't for the women in this church, my mom was one of them. They supported, they worked, they helped, they did things. I learned how to play the piano. My first introduction to a piano was when my mom got back with the Lord and started coming to church here. She volunteered to come over here and clean on Saturdays. And she'd bring me over here and I'd just sit at the piano and just pick songs out that I'd heard us do in church. And so that was how that is. And I'm saying all this to say this. I promised myself and I promised the Lord, and I'm going to promise you this morning, ladies, I'm not going to use any of this message as a baseball bat upside your head. I've never been a woman. I never dressed like a woman. I don't know what it's like to be a woman. I don't know what that's like. I haven't lived your life. I don't know your emotions. I know you have them. I don't know your weaknesses, but I know you have them. Sometimes my wife or my mom or just women will say pretty good stuff. And then sometimes I'll hear a woman say something and I'm going, where in the world did that come from? So I don't understand what it's like to be a woman. I have no comprehension of that whatsoever, other than I see things in the Word of God, and I've seen things out of my mother, I've seen things out of my sister, out of my wife, and out of my girls. And I just kind of put some things together from the Scriptures, and I kind of get an understanding of what it's like. So I promise you, ladies, I'm not going to use the Word of God maliciously to just lord over everybody and say, I'm the man, deal with it, do what I say. So that's not how this is going to be. But I have to be obedient to the Scriptures. Because this Bible, are we in agreement, men and women both, that this Bible is the instruction of righteousness that we need? Can we hear you say amen? So Titus 2:11 actually doesn't have anything to do with women. But it's where we're going to start today. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about grace this morning. It's going to take grace now to accept this. And it brings salvation. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Now I want you to stop right here just for a minute, and I want you to understand that there's two parts to just about any message I've preached on marriage. There is the practical, everyday part for you and I, but then there is the big picture of Christ and His church. And today, I'm not just preaching to just the females of this church. I'm preaching to the whole church, because we are, in fact, the bride of Christ. And this message is going to teach this entire church how to act. Can I hear you say amen? Because we don't know how to act in the house of God. And we need to be taught how to act. We need to be taught how we as the church need to see this thing. And so he gave himself for us. Husbands, love your wives as Christ gave himself for the church. Loved the church and gave himself for it. So he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Ladies, I'm just asking a question. Would you like to be a peculiar person? Now, in the world's terms, that means odd or queer or strange, or that's bizarre. Nobody acts like that anymore. That's how the world uses that. But peculiar means set aside, set apart. It's notably different. And I could put pictures up here on the screen of Madonna or Lady Gaga or Miley Cyrus. That sickens me. But that's what womanhood has turned into in this country. Can I hear you say amen? And apparently, from what I hear from people of different places in the world, we're way behind the times. And I talked to people from Europe and places, and they said, Pastor Mike, womanhood in our area has gone so far away from the Bible, it's almost impossible to bring them back. Not impossible, but it's pretty rough. So we're a little bit behind the times in this country. But a peculiar, ladies, ask yourself, do I want to be a peculiar woman for the Lord? Do I want to be different than what's around me? A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Verse 15. Look at verse 15. These things I am required to speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. That's my job. I have to preach this stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I was not near as scared of preaching to the men as I am preaching to women. And guys, everybody, if all the men would be honest, we're not afraid of another man. But there's one person in this world that we are in fear of. That is the woman in our life, be it our mother or our wives. Okay? So ladies, you can do it to us and do it to us. Okay? We can be in fear of you. We can be afraid of you. We can be afraid to say things. We can be afraid to stand up. We can be afraid to take a stand. We can be afraid. And so I'm a pastor up here. What I'm telling you is that the time for me to be afraid to preach things like this is I have to move that aside and I have to preach the Word of God and I have to do it with all authority. And I'm going to be nice about it, but ladies, you have to listen. If you want God's version of righteousness in your heart, in your life, if you say you have the Spirit of God abiding in you, this is what the Spirit of God does in a woman. And sometimes, again, I've heard preachers that use this to beat people over the head. I don't like to do that. But there are things that I have to say. Ladies, you have to listen to them. Okay? These things speak and exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Because I can be afraid. The Bible says, do not be afraid of the faces of men. It's not the men's faces I'm worried about. I have stood in this pulpit and taught and preached with a woman glaring me down while I was doing it, trying to instill fear in my heart while I was preaching. I've had that happen before. Okay? And again, I'd rather look at you men in the eye. But some of the women folk. So let's get into it. I'm just going to go scriptures here, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, give us your grace. Lord, this world is getting more wicked every day. The women around us are getting more and more wicked every day, turning even our children, girls, into Jezebels, witches, Babylons, harlots, you name it. It's turning our children into this. There's a proverb, Lord, in the scriptures, as the mother is, so goes the daughter. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help our ladies understand and see how this really is. And so, Lord, just bless this service, bless the message, bless and honor your word. And Lord, help these dear ladies to receive it and to ask you for help, because the truth is, Lord, when I preached to the men, I was preaching to me, and I knew for a fact I didn't have it in me to do what the Bible required of me. And I have to ask your help. And so, Lord, I expect nothing more or nothing less from these ladies. Lord, I understand that their flesh does not have it in them to act this way. So, Lord, move them, God, to ask for help and ask for grace and blessing from your word. So, Lord, bless it in our lives, bless it in my home, bless it amongst my children, bless it amongst these that are gathered here today, those that are listening in, those that will watch later. Lord, just bless. Let your word reign supreme in our hearts and our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Some of this stuff you already know where I'm going to go. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm just going to give you some scriptures this morning that is the word of God instructing us and leading us into righteousness. There's a passage that I don't have in my notes that I was thinking of, and I'm going to go ahead and open my Bible up to it, and if God leads me to go there, then I will. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That is a church relationship. That is also even a work relationship or whatever. But that is also works in a marriage, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. But then he specifically says, wives, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now I want you to look at every word of that verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I am your pastor, but I am not over you. I do not override the authority of your husband. Okay, I do not and cannot override the authority of your husband. Okay? And there are so many ways I could preach it. Don't try to get me in trouble with your husband. Don't try to use me as a weapon against your husband. Okay? Don't try to do that. I have to preach with authority the word of God. And as far as the spiritual nature of this church, as far as the leadership of this church, as far as the doctrine, the things that come out of this pulpit, I'm responsible for. I don't want the church telling me, Pastor, I think you ought to preach this. Maybe you should preach this. Don't preach that anymore. I can't let you do that. I can't let you pull me around like that. But when it comes to your home, ladies, I am not the authority in your home. It is your husband. He is the one who should bear rule well in your house. Guys, your responsibility is to bear rule well. That means do it smartly and wisely. All that stuff about learning your women, learning your wife, dwell with them according to knowledge. You can be an idiot and be a husband at home. Okay? And some of you ladies are going, yeah, I married one of those. Sure did. Okay? Guys, same deal applies. Do not go home with what I said and beat your wife with it. Do not do it. This is a spiritual deal. It is the Holy Ghost who's going to teach this lesson. And the Holy Ghost is going to bring your wife into subjection under the rule and the authority of Scriptures. You'll ruin your marriage by trying to take a sermon that I preached and use it against your wife, or I would say even against your husband. Don't do it. All right? If any of you husbands sitting here see that your wife is deficient in some of these areas or all of them, your responsibility is to lead her, not push her. Amen. Lead her. She's going to follow you. She's going to see your struggles, and when you struggle, you're going to pray. She's going to see that. Maybe I ought to pray. So just kind of think about that, guys, all right? So ladies, I'm on your side, I really am. And I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to stand there with you. But I preached this here a while back, and I mean what I say. Authority is protection. And ladies, if you will remain under the authority of your husband, God will bless you and God will protect you. If you choose to walk outside of that, either by divorce or by adultery, or just by saying, you're not going to tell me what to do, I'm the one that, if that's your heart and your attitude, you watch out. You say, well, I can take up for myself. Not against the spirits that God's going to unleash on you. You cannot shoot devils. You can't. You don't understand. You don't see the spiritual side of how God... I've seen it since I've been pastor here. God showed me one day that all this... There was one day the devil was just chewing me up and spitting me out. He wanted me to leave. Why did he want me to leave? So he could come after the church members. And I went, that's it. Ladies, God is holding back devils from your family because of your husband. That's the Word of God. Amen. You want to go around his authority? You want to subvert that? You want to run around on him? You want to do this or that and the other? Get ready, because he'll turn them loose and you're not going to like it. So just kind of ponder that for a while. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If you would serve, and he, you know, he's equating, you know, watch this. He is equating, ladies, your godliness with how you are as a wife at home. And any woman who is a Jezebel at home is a Jezebel in the kingdom of God. There, you cannot have a submitted spiritual nature to God and His Word and then be a Jezebel at home. You cannot do that. It does not work. And so he said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If you do it to the Lord, then do it to your husband. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Bethel Church, we don't tell God what He said. God tells us what He said. And we submit to that authority. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you think there's Jezebel churches out here in this town? Yes. You better believe it. They're telling God what how it is instead of God telling them how it is. And it's not right. There's Jezebel churches. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. There it is right there. God is using your husband, the role of your husband, to protect you and your family from devils that would come in and destroy your family. That's what that Savior of the body is. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. That is the Word of God. It is all-inclusive. It means exactly what it says. You can keep your place in Ephesians. I might come back to it in a little bit, but Colossians 3:18, Paul says the same thing. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, there is a place here, as it is fit in the Lord. I do not believe that a woman has to subject herself to abuse and a physical abuse in the home. And I am like this, right or wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'm going to ask God to chase me over it. But I had a deacon come to me one time, and he said, my dad told me this. He said, when I married Judy, he said, don't ever. He said, let me tell you how we used to deal with it back in my younger days. He said, if we in the community heard of a man hitting his wife, a bunch of us guys went over to his house. We walked in his house, drug him out in the yard, stood over him like this and said, next time you want to hit somebody, you call us. Because if we ever hear of you hitting your wife again, we're coming back. Okay? Now you say, oh, that's wicked, that's brawling, that's... Listen, I want to tell you something. You men, don't hit your wife. Amen?
Amen.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. So you're not required to be under authority of somebody that's beating on you or could take your life. That's kind of what I see in that passage there. I may be wrong, but I'm going to have God correct me on that. But beside that, he's the husband. Submit to his authority. That does not mean that you do not have a voice. I've covered that. Does not mean that you should not give him wise counsel. That you, and all of those things are true. But ultimately, it must be the husband who decides. Ultimately. And if he didn't decide right, God will get him. God's got me. God will get you. 1 Timothy 3:10. The Bible says, let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. This is actually the requirement for the wife of a deacon. But I would say that it's just good application for everybody else. Good for a pastor's wife, for a deacon's wife, Sunday school teacher, whoever. Even so must their wives be grave. Now that doesn't mean having one foot in the grave. Okay? You know what that means? She is not to be the party drunk of the town. She's to be sober. He's to be grave, not slanderers. Not slanderers. Ladies, I love you. It is in your nature to slander. It is in your nature to gossip. It is in your nature to cut down with your tongue. You don't have the physical strength with your arms and know how to throw balls and shoot weapons like a man. So normally you don't use that as a weapon. What you use is your tongue. You use your mouth as a weapon against people. Normally it's behind their back. And a godly wife learns how to keep her mouth shut. That's what a godly wife does. She learns not to slander. She learns not to backbite. She learns not to gossip. She learns, watch this now, she learns not to use her mouth as a weapon. In the things that don't set well with her, she learns to sic God on them. And God is a greater weapon and more fair than our words. So even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, not to be drunk physically. You don't drink wine. You don't sit home and drink wine coolers. You don't go to parties and drink beer. To me, there's nothing more grotesque looking than a woman with a 12-foot long cigarette hanging out of her mouth and a glass of beer in her hand. That's sick looking. Okay? Man too. I'm not talking about men, I'm talking about women. It's gross. It's ugly. It's defiling is what it is. You're to be sober. You're not to be the life of the party. You're not to get drunk. You're not to be hooked on alcohol or anything else. Or, and I will say this, an abuser of pills. I take pills. I take certain things for ailments that I have. I believe in that. Don't get me wrong. I am not a preacher that says all medicine's evil, just pray. I don't believe that. I believe in the ointment of the apothecary. I believe in things like that. It does some people some good. And I see that. But I have also known women that were so hooked on medicines and prescriptions and everything else, they did terrible things to get them. Methamphetamine. You know the big hookups on methamphetamine is housewives. Women. Suburban women. And they're to be faithful in all things. That means faithful to your husband. That means faithful to the house. Faithful to the household. Faithful to the children. Faithful to the house of God. And I'll tell you something. If it wasn't for my mother bringing her kids into the house of the Lord every time the service was started, I doubt my sister and I would even be here today. Because it wasn't our dad, it was our mother who brought us here.
Amen.
God bless you guys. And I saw my mom struggle. She struggled with cigarettes. She struggled with different things. I saw that in her life even at a young age. But she wanted to live and be a godly wife. And she took very good care of my dad. But when she'd had enough of him, she told him. Okay? So ladies, you don't have to be afraid of your husband. That's not what I'm preaching. That's not what I'm preaching. But let me just say this to you. There ain't a woman in here who does not have it in her power and ability to move and provoke your husband to a place that he never wants to be in. You do have that power. You have that ability. And I think sometimes you know it. So be sober. Be faithful in all things. Titus chapter 2 verse 1. Turn there if you want to. Titus chapter 2 verse 1. The Bible says, "But speak thou things which become sound doctrine." I'm wondering why stuff like this is not preached anymore, because it's the doctrine of the Bible. It's what's supposed to be preached. Stuff has to be said. Sermons have to be preached on it. Things have to be said. And just because it doesn't put a lot of money in the plate, that doesn't mean anything. It still has to be said. "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience." That was the men. Sterling and Jimmy, that's y'all. The aged men. Gary. Gold codgers. Wayne. Okay? That's what you're supposed to be. Now verse 3. "The aged women." I will never call you a codger, ladies. Never call you old ladies either. The Bible says aged women. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." Holiness. That means you don't run around wearing short shorts and short skirts. That's not holy. That's licentious and lascivious. That is inviting the eyes of a man to his eyes to wander up your legs. That's wrong and that's wicked. I can preach all kinds of things like that, especially in this summer heat. Can I show you guys something? This applies to men and women at the same time. Okay? I wondered this for a long time because I heard, not supposed to wear shorts, not supposed to do this, not supposed to do that. And I went searching in the scriptures. I actually found this and God just said, "Mike, pay attention to this." Did you know that God actually has a standard for how much of your leg can be seen by another human being? It is from the knee downward. That's what can be seen. You say, "I don't believe that." God required the high priest that when he was in attendance to the house of God, he had to wear breeches from his hips down to his knees to cover his thighs so that his nakedness would not appear. Likewise, in the book of Isaiah, it talks about the virgin daughter of Babylon, and he says, "Bear thy thigh and uncover your nakedness." And ladies, when you walk around with your thigh exposed, that's wrong. The Bible calls it nudity and it's wicked. You're not supposed to do that. If you want to wear something from the knee down, it's perfectly fine. Or excuse me, from the knee down. That's them pants them guys wear. Amen. Knees down. That's wicked. You want to wear something that covers and goes down. By the way, I better not do that. Lisa would be mad at me. She puts some flowers up there. That means, ladies, while you're sitting down, make sure they're covered. Because I had a deal one time. We had a daycare here. We had workers that begged me to start letting them wear shorts. And they said, "We'll have them from the knee. We'll have them covering the knee." And lo and behold, I'd come in one day and I'd see them sitting out there on the playground watching those kids and their shorts all rolled up to here. And I'd look at it and they knew I was looking at them. And they'd go, "Stretch." And I said, "No more." They got, you talk about getting mad at me. One of them quit over it. I can't help it. God sets the standard. Okay? And if you're going to, you want to walk around your bedroom, your bathroom, however you want to, that's your business. You walk outside in public with somebody's eyes other than your husband and God Himself is looking at you, cover yourself up and cover yourself up.
That's right. Good
advice. That they may be in behavior as becometh holiness. We're in Titus 2:3, not false accusers. That means not a gossiper accusing everybody of things that you have no knowledge about whatsoever. And I want to tell you something. That doubly goes for Facebook. Not given to much wine. You see, I got you right there. I can have a little bit of it. I preach this message. If you want a copy of it, I'll give it to you. There are very narrow prescriptions for wine use in the Bible. Very limited, defined, unobscure uses for wine in the Bible and its use. When it says not given to much wine, that means don't go outside of God's very small use of it. Not given to much wine. Let's see here. Teachers of good things. I believe in women ought to be Sunday school teachers. I don't have a problem with that in the world, teaching over the children. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. You know what that means? That means be discreet in your appearance. That means cover your body up. But it also means just be discreet as far as don't be the loudmouth of the group. To be chaste. You know what that means? To be virgin pure in your actions, your attitudes, and in everything else. It is uncomely for a woman to be in a public setting and talking about women things and stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It is uncomely for that to be that way. It's not right. Okay? Now, if women are gathered together and they, hey, I have a little problem, this, I don't see a problem with that. But outside of that, you're not being chaste. What you're doing is you're trying to be dirty. Keepers at home. Again, I'm not using this sermon as a bat against everybody, against the women that have to work. Okay? But I will tell you that God, and God showed me this. Brother Reg Kelly actually preached it. He's mentioned one thing that stuck with me. Women can bear a lot of pain, but very little pressure. Now, I remember the days when my wife worked for a big company. She's doing computer work and going through files. I mean, she did a good job. I mean, she did her job well. But there for a while, there was a gal up there that was stirring up trouble amongst everybody. Y'all ever met somebody like that? There's always one gal that just stirs it up. She'd come home every day in tears. Talking about it, what happened up there. Couldn't handle it. And I said, honey, what you need to do is what we did at a construction site. What's that? I said, after work, you, one of you gals and that other lady go out and bare knuckle fist fight. And whoever was left standing, that was the one that was right. And when guys do it, when we beat each other up, we always help each other up and dust each other. Hey, I'm sorry, man, no big deal. And every now and then, we just need a knuckle punch to the face, to get our head straightened out. Amen? That doesn't work with women, because they don't know how to knuckle punch. They just scream and call names and claw and pull hair and everything else. It's not comely either, okay? But I found out that my wife does better when she does not have the responsibility of employment on her shoulders. That's just her. I'm just saying it's worked out far better for us that she is able to keep it home. You're to be good, not mean, not evil, not bad-mouthing everybody all the time. You're to be obedient to your own husband. You're to be that, and watch this. Watch how he hooked this together. You listen to me? This all has to do with what's going wrong when marriages in this country. God hinged the behavior of wives on blasphemy against the Word of God. He said that the Word of God be not blasphemed. No wonder that the people going up down the street here at American Legion Drive do not give a flip for the rules and the guidelines that are in the Word of God. No wonder most young people do not even regard marriage as something they even want to have anything to do with. As long as they can sleep in a bed with somebody for a while, and then if that didn't work out, go sleep in somebody else's bed for a while, that's fine. But they do not regard the Word of God. And it's what has happened is the church's disobedience to the Word of God has made this world blaspheme this book.
That's right.
The church did it.
That's right.
The church. Lady, and I know in Titus he's talking about the men and the women, and it works together. But ladies, you've got your burden to bear. This is how things have to be as far as a godly woman is concerned. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. If you'll give me a few more minutes, I'll finish this. If not, I'll have to preach it again next Sunday. It's up to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, and when you get there, I'm going to back up one verse. Look at the previous verse, verse 25 of chapter 2. For ye were a sheep going astray. That's how everybody used to be, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd keeps all the sheep safe in the sheepfold. There's that authority and protection. There that is. You see that? I'm telling you, ladies, for your own good and for the good of your children and your home, do this thing. Because as long as the sheep will respond to the shepherd and stay in the guidelines, in the sheepfold, that shepherd will protect them. You step out of those guidelines, God will unleash on you things you don't want unleashed. So then he says, verse chapter 3, verse 1, likewise. That's why I included that verse in that. The likewise goes back to the previous verse. Now he's talking to the wives who are not the shepherd. They're part of the flock. They're part of what the shepherd is protecting. But wives are not the shepherd. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. You know what that means? Stay in the sheepfold. That if any obey, watch this, the only place in the whole Bible where God said a man could be saved without Bible preaching is through the godliness of a wife. That's how it worked with Milton Hoggard. My mom bears the responsibility of saving my dad. It was my mom. Because dad never did go to church. He's in heaven now because of mom. You wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plating. Now, I've already covered, is it okay for a woman to have jewelry and things like that? According to Scripture, it is. But ladies, there's a difference between dressing for your husband and making yourself look appearing to him and dressing for somebody else's husband. And anybody in the world can spot the difference a mile away. You can spot it a mile away. Who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel. And just, ladies here, think about this. Men, Mark, we get up this morning, we jump in the shower, comb our hair, we're out. Okay? 10, 15 minutes. Somebody calls me in the middle of the night, Pastor, we need you to come to the hospital. I'm in and out, 10 minutes, cleaned up, ready to go. Okay? My wife takes longer. Okay? That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? You know what he's saying here? Watch this. You know what he's saying, ladies? If you put that much work into your outside, put twice the work into your inside.
Amen.
And it takes work. Because bed ruins good hair. Amen? I mean, you look pretty good by the end of the day. You go to bed, wake up in the morning. You know what? You know what this is telling you? It's going to take you doing it every day. Every day. Listen to me now. Over the span of a lifetime, a woman fights off this aging thing because it's affecting her appearance. Okay? Daily, you keep working on the same hair, same face, same skin. You rub lotion on your skin because you don't want man hands. Okay? I don't like, Lisa tell you, I don't like lotion on my hands. That's gross. And I don't like lip balm on my lips. I'll walk around like this all day long. I hate that stuff. I want rough, scaly skin falling off of it. That's what I want. Okay? Ladies, here's my point. The world is constantly tearing at you, trying to take your physical beauty away from you. So likewise, this world is constantly trying to take away the spiritual man on the inside of you and ruin it. So if it takes work to fix the outside, it's going to take work to make the inside presentable. Did I say that right?
Amen.
Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. See, I said it right, the hidden man of the heart. You know who that hidden man is? Christ. That's who that hidden man is. In that which is not corruptible. See there, ladies? It's not corruptible. The hidden beauty in the heart is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Not a loud mouth. Not someone who's angry all the time. Not someone who's just thrashing and slashing away at the people around you. It is a meek and a quiet heart. It is a heart that says, I don't have to have my way all the time in order for me to feel good about myself. That's what that heart is. Which is in the sight of God of great price. Remember what Proverbs 31 said? Her price is far above rubies. That's what that's for. I have my Bible open to Proverbs 31. I'm not going to read all of it, but I want to say this too. Ladies, please listen to me. Just because God requires you to be a keeper at home, you know what that means? That doesn't mean sit at home. When you read Proverbs 31, did you know that woman was industrious? She fixed food for her family. She prepared food. She went and traded in the market. You know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with a woman running a business. You know, in certain areas, in certain ways. That Proverbs 31 says she's industrious. She's out trading stuff in the markets to bring food home, to bring extra money home for her family. Nothing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that. But I have seen, and you have seen, women who live like pigs, never clean their house, never do the dishes, sit around all day watching television. Facebooking, gossiping. That's a useless woman. Get up and clean your house. Get up and fix your hair. Get up and do something. You said that's mean. Listen, that's the Word of God, ladies. You go read it. 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls of costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That's the Word of God. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Ladies of this of Bethel Church, it is not your job to run the church. It's not. It is not your job to teach me doctrine. It's not your job to correct me when you think I'm wrong. It's not your place. I love you. But that's not the role that God gave you. If you think I'm wrong, then you let God have me. And He will. Some of you have been around me long enough to know that God will take Mikey out back and whoop the fire out of him. And has. And He's not afraid of me to do it again. But it's not for the women folk of this church to run this church and to determine what we're going to do and how we're going to do things. When we have a board meeting, we have men in that board. We have one woman in there who takes notes, and that's it. She does not tell us what she wants us to do. She does not control that. It is the men of this church, and these are men that I trust to give me sound judgment. That's how this thing has stayed afloat all these years through everything we've gone through. That's how it's happened. Amen. Now, I will tell you that some of the things that Rose brings to us on a list didn't come from us, Jared. Most of them didn't. But you know what? The ladies said, we'll let the board decide whether or not to do this or not. Ladies, I appreciate that. And I'll be honest with you. You ladies, just like Jezebel with Elijah, you have it within your power to make me run off in the wilderness and say, it is enough, now Lord, take away my life. I have been there before over deals in this church because of women. And I don't like it. I don't like it. 2 Timothy 3:6-7, you know where false doctrine creeps in, how it creeps into a church? The women. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I want to say this. There's a couple groups that meet online. There's one's called Watchman Community. There's a group on Facebook. I kind of look over the Facebook group every now and then. And if I see something that's posted under there that I do not agree with, I'll ask them privately to take it down. But I've gotten into fights with people on that Facebook group page because they're posting doctrine that does not agree with the Word of God. It is not anybody else's job to tell me what this book says. That is the Holy Spirit's job. I get good counsel. I hear a lot of good things from a lot of people. But if it's out of line here, it's out of line out there too.
That's right.
How do I want to end this thing? Go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to close this thing out. Okay? I know I've kept you a long time, but I do want to finish this, and I want to move on for next week. 1 Peter chapter 3. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection under their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him what? Lord, I did not write that. Abraham did not write that. The Council of Jerusalem did not write that. The Pope did not write that. That was the Holy Ghost gave those words to Peter, and that's what he wrote down. You say, oh, I don't believe in calling him Lord. Well, you should reverence and respect him, especially if he is out working for his family and doing his best. That is your responsibility, ladies. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well. And not afraid with any amazement. Verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And you say, what do you get out of that, Pastor Mike? The wife is the weaker vessel of the household. She does not have the strength. There's things that God did not give to the woman that He gave to the man. That's not my fault, and it's not your fault. That's just how God designed it. The church, likewise, is the weaker vessel when it comes to the work of God. And that God, the bridegroom, gives honor to the church as the weaker vessel. Likewise, husbands, do the same. This is why I told you, don't go home with this sermon, men, on your mind about, hey, didn't you hear what Mike said? Don't do that. Don't do that for me, all right? Being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And then verse 8, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Boom, there it is, now both of them. Now we're going to hook both of them back in together. Having one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, that means have pity on one another's needs. Be courteous, that means don't be rude in your home. Don't be rude to your wife. Don't be rude to your husband in home. Don't call names to one another. That's stupid. Be not rendering evil for evil. Ladies, don't ever say, I'll get him back. I'm going to teach that man a lesson if it's the last thing I do. That's wrong. That's not your place. That's God's place to do that. Not rendering evil for evil. Husband's the same way. Or rate, you know what? She's mad at me? Fine. I'll be mad at her then. Fine. This is how I am. Don't do that. You say, I can't, Pastor, you don't understand. I mean, I got these deep. You'd be amazed at what I understand. I know the feelings. Lisa and I, we've been through lots of stuff in our marriage. God has kept us together. And I love her more than I love my own life. And I want you to pray. I've had two men this week call me. Pastor, my wife died. Two men this week have called me saying, one man, his wife dealt with breast cancer. And I said, you know, my wife deals with that. She died. The other man said his wife went off to work at 8 o'clock this morning. Bam! A guy hit her and killed her. He called me crying. He said, I don't know if I can live without her. I feel the same way. You pray for those men. Okay? Pray for them. I would not want that to happen to me. But I've had to learn over the years. She has too. When she's mad at me, she'll go pray. God, I don't want to be mad at Mike anymore. When I'm mad at her, I'll go pray. God, I don't want to be mad at my wife anymore. And God fixes it. I'm telling you, He does. Contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that to speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Ladies, if that's you, the face of the Lord is not for you. And I want to close it with this. I had a lady call me one time, and she said, you've got my husband on your mailing list. Take him off. Just like that. And I said, ma'am, I don't understand. She said, you're preaching stuff that is not right. I don't like it. I don't want it in my home. I'm a Holy Ghost filled. I went, there it is right there. She was one of these charismatic gals. I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and I've spoken in tongues, and I've prophesied in my church, and I don't want my husband. You tell women that they ought to be sitting at home and not saying anything in the church. And that's not what Holy Ghost has done for me. And I said, ma'am, let me show you. And I tried to quote a scripture, and she kept cutting me off. And I finally let her talk, and I had enough of her. Jezebel pushed me until I said, okay, here we go. I said, ma'am, I want to tell you something that's going to make you mad. You are not the head. She said, if he don't straighten out, I'm going to divorce him and leave him. And I have a right to, because he's not Holy Ghost filled like I am. I said, ma'am, and she said, it'd be your fault. And I said, don't you dare lay your divorce on my feet. Let me tell you where the problem is. The problem is with you. You're to be submissive to your husband. You're to learn from him. And he called here, apparently he called here wanting the teachings because he wasn't buying what you were selling. And if you'll listen to that man, God will bless you and God will bless your marriage. And you might just learn. Well, I mean, I cut loose and I said, you just might learn something instead of that stupid nonsense you're in right now. She said, I'm telling you, you take him off the list or I'm going to divorce him. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you something, ma'am. I said, the Bible says that you're not the head of your household, your husband is. If he calls me and wants taken off the list, I'll take him off the list. But it's, until he does, I'm not listening to you. Slam the phone down. I I learned from doing that to my mom that women don't like it when you hang the phone up on them. And I said that to say this. Ladies, when you're in rebellion against your role at home or in the church or wherever, the face of the Lord is not for you. You say, but I'm right in this situation. You may be. But if you're going about it the wrong way, God's not in it. Okay? Ladies, I love you. I'm scared of you. Just telling you. You could get a Jezebel spirit on me, and you could probably run me a far distance from here. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, I'd be gone by now. Don't be mad at me. I have to preach this with authority. I have to say what the Bible says. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. Okay? Ask God to help you. Is that fair enough?